While we're waiting for the bell to ring, you may want to turn to the third page of that four-page packet, or five-page packet. Just the third page. It's Independent Bible Study 1, Instructions, because this is basically what we're going to be doing next week, and I wanted to explain a little bit about how it works. And we'll just go ahead and do that, and then we'll have a prayer afterwards. In this Independent Bible Study of the Instructions, you can actually, as you're looking at that sheet, look at the next two sheets, which basically are not much on them. They have a subject line, three scriptures, and two questions. And so the first page, the instructions, explains how to fill these out, which is what I'm going to want you to do. So you're going to have homework this week for lesson one, and then homework the next week for the second Independent Bible Study lesson. And we've done this a long time ago in the adult class, and I've done it a number of times in high school classes. It's very beneficial in helping you learn to think for yourself. That's what we're trying to do. That's the most important thing you can do in Bible study. And so what we want you to do is to take those three verses and read them two or three times and try to find a common thread that ties the three verses together. There are going to be other things they'll teach, but there's going to be at least one common thread between the three verses. Figure out what that is first, and then, and of course, if you don't understand some of the words or understand the teaching, ask someone or get a Bible dictionary or something like that that will help you. We're going to talk about some of those things today. And then as a result of that, you determine what the general subject is. The general subject is what the three verses tie in to teach. So don't just take one verse and say, okay, the subject is this, if the other two verses don't relate to it. Try to find out what that subject is. And then after you've determined what that subject is, kind of pencil it in the subject line or the title line. And then after that, you would look at each verse at a time and write a summary of what that verse teaches. Any ancillary thoughts, too, that maybe not be germane to the topic. In other words, the teaching of that passage, but also try to tie it into the subject that the three verses are talking about. And we'll discuss those things as we get through. Then when you have finished doing that, answer the two questions. Now, I want you to look at the bottom. I've got an example lesson that's very much like it that I've filled out. The three verses talk about the need for Bible study, going from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word, to desire the milk, since we are milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And then in 2 Timothy 2, to study to show yourself approved unto God. So those are the three verses. Tie them all together. It's talking about study and learning God's Word. So if you were to look at the title, the need for study, the need for knowing God's Word, the need for learning, those are the types of things that you would put as your title. There's no right or wrong answer with regard to a title, but the subject that ties the three together is study or learning God's Word. And then try to be specific with regard to the applications. The two questions indicate the concept of application. How can I incorporate the lessons I have learned? Well, I can study, but that's too general. So how can I get to where I'm studying? Set aside a schedule for reading. Ask people. Have someone that you trust that knows the Bible as a go-to person. If you have a problem with a passage, you can go and ask for an explanation of the passage. And then I have to begin, read a chapter of Mark every day. That would be a good start. And then looking at the second question, how am I applying the teaching? Be specific. If I study a lot, how will it help me? What are good things that will happen as a result of it? And then we can share those kinds of things as we come together. See if we've got this ability to kind of go in and get it for ourselves. And then see if we've gotten it right. Or have a concept of what we're trying to do with these lessons. We've got two of them. And you've got that example as well. So that's what we're going to be doing for the next 2 weeks. So next week, if you have page 10, have page 10 filled out. And then the week after that, page 11 filled out. It's not going to take a lot of time, but it's going to be very helpful for you to understand and get the gist of what good Bible study actually is. And that's what we're trying to do. Okay, going back then to the first page. That's what we're going to talk about today, the use of Bible helps. Last week we used books. This week we're going to go to the computer. And just as a start off, the reason why this is so good is that it is free, for the most part, free, whereas the books cost money. And these are much of the same helps as what we have in the other. And plus some others that actually are better than what you can get in books. So we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll kind of get into it. And I'll be able to show you what I'm talking about with regard to using the computer to help you study the Bible. If you will, bow with me. Dear Father in heaven, as we bow before you at this time, we're thankful for this day. Thankful for all the blessings of it. Thankful for this opportunity, dear Father, to learn how to study your will, that we might better be able to grasp it. And we pray that this will be beneficial to those who are in our number today. We ask, dear Father, your blessings not only upon this class, but in the worship that will follow in the next hour. And we ask it all in your Son's name. Amen. All right, one other thing that I wanted to add is that I'm basically, for the video that we put up online, I just now changed it to where it's showing what I'm doing up here. So you'll just be able to hear my voice. But if I go too fast, you can't see well enough, but there's something you want to find, you have two things. You have the URLs and the locations of these apps and these website locations that is written in the sheet. And you'll also be able to go back and review it on the video so you can see a little bit better what we're doing today. All right? So if you'll notice up here, there are several Bible study programs that you can put on your computer that does a lot of good stuff. The Cadillac of those is Logos. I have Logos up on the board right now in the tabs. You can't see it much. And I understand that. The only reason I put it up there is so that you'll know that Cadillacs cost a lot of money. And so if you're going to use the Logos software, which I do not use, but I've heard many, many good things about it, you can spend between $300 for the starter all the way down to $10,800 for the collection edition. $10,800 for a computer program. Now, what it has is, basically, if you were to go into a theological library somewhere on a college campus, you would have a lot of those books that are in that library on your computer. So, I mean, it is really a big thing, but it's not something you need. So if you were interested in getting the Cadillac, then I would start off with the $300 version of it, and then maybe as time goes on, buy some other things. But it's not necessary to do that. I just wanted to put that up, the Logos, because I thought that if I talked about computer programs, did bring up Logos, someone said, what about Logos? And I have no problems with it. It's just that I don't like to pay money when I don't have to, and there are other Bible programs that would probably be utilized in the same way by you. So with that in mind, I'm going to take that off the board, and we're going to go to the programs that I have on my computer. The first one is called Olive Tree. The Olive Tree is, you can put it both on a computer as well as on a mobile app. So you can have Olive Tree on your tablet. If you've got a small tablet, you can have it on your phone, and it works very, very well. What I use that for typically is to copy and paste. That's about the only reason I use it right now. But you can buy commentaries. You can buy a number of different versions of the Bible. I've got up here on mine what I have on Olive Tree. It's up here on the left is the American Standard, English Standard, the King James Version, the New International Version, the New King James Version. And there are others that you can have as well. But I'm going to just show you what I typically do with regard to that. I need to get to the other sheet because I'm going to navigate to Philippians 2. And there's a couple ways you can do that. You can go up here and click on and go to Philippians and go to chapter 2 and go to verse 5. So you're there. That's how easy it is. And I'm going to copy and paste that. So very simple thing. Copy and paste. And I can, just as easy as it is possibly able to do, I can just hit Control V, paste, and I've got the entire text in a document. And I do that with all my sermons, and I do it with my bulletins and those kinds of things. Isn't that amazing? I know you're saying, well, come on, it's copy paste. But some people out there say, wow. So anyway, that's kind of what I want you to keep in mind is this Olive Tree program is one where you can do Bible study, you can create your own notes. There's a lot of things that you can do. And it's free. If you were to buy the New King James Version, because it doesn't come, but understand this, that with the Bibles, the King James Version is one that's in the public domain, so it doesn't cost anything. You can get free King James Bibles anywhere you want. If you want to get the New King James, it costs you $10 to buy one at Olive Tree. And then there are other kind of commentaries, things like that, and helps you can get. The one that I like most for Bible study is actually online, but I do want to note Another one that I have on my computer that's called eSword. So eSword is up here on the board, and the top frame here is the text. And I want you to notice I've got it on King James Version right now, but I'm going to change it to King James Plus, King James Version Plus, and you'll notice all the little numbers in between, and all of those numbers are the strong numbers. So instead of having to look in the book and go to the back of the book and all that, if I just hover over these strong numbers, then I get the definitions of the words just by hovering. If I click on it, then by clicking on it, let me go over to strong. I've got a dictionary down there. I don't know why it's taking so long to get there. But if you click on the number, then the number appears in this particular location. So it has dictionaries. I've got the Strong, Thayer, International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, Knave's Topical Bible, as well as the Smith Dictionary here in this deal that I can look at. Yes?
Everything that you just pointed out, I'm an olive tree user. I have a desktop on my mobile. It's all
right
together.
Right.
All of that stuff can also be obtained very easily on the olive tree. And
yeah.
I believe the King James with Strong's on the olive tree is also available. I have the New King James with Strong's. Everything with Strong's, I have it in simple,
yeah,
click just like that.
Good deal. Yeah, I think what we were talking about in regard to that, all that, is that all of the programs that you get will be able to do basically the same things that I'm doing here. The one thing about this is a little bit clunky, but it has all those windows up at one time, which is just for me. It's just what I'm used to in using. So I wanted to note that you can get the Strong definition. You can also go to the Thayer's definition of any word. But I also want you to note, if you go to, let's say, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, which is the ISBE, you can go look down here, and we're just going to go with Aaron. And I'm going to click on Aaron, and it brings up the ISBE article on Aaron, if you want to know about Aaron. Also, you can go to the Knaves, and the Knave Bible will have some information with regard to Aaron. And then if you go to the Smith Bible Dictionary, it will have a shorter article on the subject of Aaron, that because, again, encyclopedias have more information than dictionaries do. And having said that, so if I go to John chapter 1, and I look at In the Beginning, and I go over here to the top right, these are commentaries. I've got Albert Barnes, Adam Clark, Jameson Fawcett Brown, and also B.W. Johnson and his concise. We talked about the People's New Testament with notes. And basically, these are commentaries that you can use. Jameson Fawcett Brown is pretty good. It's conservative. B.W. Johnson is from a member of the church. Adam Clark is conservative. The other two, I'm not as interested in y'all being concerned with. But this is, again, a good type of program that you can utilize. Everything that I have on this is free. I don't have New King James Version on it. I could get it for $10, but I have it on Olive Tree, and I use Olive Tree for copying and pasting. So, but this is kind of an easy thing to have. And from what I understand, though I haven't utilized it, the eSword also has apps in, let's see here, computer, tablet, and mobile app. They had the mobile apps too. They didn't have the tablet mobile apps when I first got this, and I gave this study out the first time. So anyway, wanted you to know about that. So the final one is the Blue Letter Bible. I want you to note that I really like Blue Letter Bible. It's online. It's on the web. Now, again, some of you may not be able to see this very well, but I want you to note that I'm going over to the King James. I'm going over to this drop-down box, and I'm going to change it from King James to New King James. Okay, and then after I do that, I want to go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. So I'm going to go Romans 8.37 and go to it. And there is Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 at the top. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's in the New King James Version. Now I'm going to go up to the tools here, and I'm going to click on the interlinear. This thing is amazing because what it does is it gives every single word that is found in that list. And let's start off by the word with the phrase, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors is translated from one Greek word, which is hypernikeo. And I'm going to click on that number. And what it brings up is a number of things. It has how many times it's found in the Greek New Testament. It's only found once. This is a unique word. More than conquerors is a unique word. You can view Vine's entry by clicking on that. And conquer, to be more than a conqueror, to gain a surpassing victory. We are hyper conquerors. We are preeminently victorious. That's the Vine's dictionary. Then you go down to the Strong's definition, which is to vanquish beyond, to gain a decisive victory, to more than conquer. And then you go down to Thayer's, to be more than a conqueror, to gain a surpassing victory. So you look at all of those different ones. I'm going to go back with the back arrow, go back to the text, and I'm going to go down now. What was the other one I wanted to do? Him who loved. Go down to him who loved. And this word, where that word was uniquely the case, when you look at this word, it's agape, or agapeo. So that you find that it's found 142 times in 40 unique forms. And when you look at, for example, Strong's definition, to love in a social or a moral sense, Thayer's says that it is to be full of goodwill and exhibit the same, and gives a number of examples to where it's used and the way it's used. So, again, this interlinear using Blue Letter Bible is absolutely fantastic. It's real easy to use. You find all of that information in one place. In addition to the interlinear, you can look at the translation in a whole bunch of different translations, a verse in a whole bunch of different translations. There are cross-references. They have some commentaries, but they're not very good. And then also some different Bible dictionaries. Easton's, International, Standard Bible, Encyclopedia, Knaves, the things that we've talked about before are available on Blue Letter Bible as well. So I would encourage that. I think that's a really, really good website to use. Yes, Rule.
I use my time, I'm like you, Blue Letter is my favorite. I use it. It's fantastic. Yep. What I really like about it is you can draw side by side on my whole app.
Okay, so Blue Letter Bible does. You're right, I forgot to tell you that. Blue Letter Bible has a mobile app as well that you can put on your phone. It doesn't have a computer app. When you do it on the computer, it's a website. But it does have a mobile app that is very, very good. Yeah, I've got it on both my tablets, and so that works well. I do want you to note, let me put it, the next page, the second page, there's one thing that Blue Letter Bible does. You can go to the apps and tools that it has, and one of the apps and tools is what's called sociable. No, it's not. It's called, where is it? Scripture Mark, digital markup of Bible study. I don't know if anybody would ever use this, but you can mark up your text. You can decide what text you want to use and mark it up. Now, this doesn't make much sense. I was just showing you how to do it or what you can do. So you'll notice I did Genesis 1, 1, and 2, and you can put pictures. I put a picture of the earth above the earth. For God created the heavens and the earth, I put a praying man. So you can think, well, that's something to give praise to God for, or to pray and thank God for. I've got three notes there. The word beginning, a Hebrew word defined by Strong, is the first in place, time, order, or rank. The second one, without form. It's a Hebrew word that I put the definition in. So you can do all these kinds of things. You can highlight. You can put text boxes, all kinds of things. I thought that maybe some teachers might like to utilize that. And what you can do is export it as a PNG image, and you can drop it into a JPEG or a GIF or a PNG. That's just another kind of graphic image. And you can use it for your Bible class if that's something you wanted to do. I found it a little bit difficult to use, but it is a resource that others, if you get used to it, you could probably utilize it well. So I just wanted to make note of that as well. Okay, so let's get out of Blue Letter Bible. And we're going next to a search engine. This is a good search engine that is very much underutilized. I don't know. I talked to Christians about it in different places. Where did you find that information? SeekYeFirst.net. SeekYeFirst.net. And they said, what's that? Well, it's a search engine that indexes only teaching that is, I say only teaching that's sound, that's with a caveat. Christians that you have confidence in. This man who indexed this, he indexed it to my sites and to a number of other sites of men that he trusted who are very conservative in their thinking. And so what I'm saying here is that if you want to learn about a particular Bible topic, a good place to go is Seek Ye First. Now, let me give you an example. If I were to say that I wanted to do a search for Catholicism, so I'm going to type Catholicism in, and I'm going to search for Catholicism, and what I get is 1,100 results on Catholicism. And so all of these articles were written on the subject of Catholicism. Now, I want you to notice that right here, this one, is actually from our Sound Teaching website. The ST is an indication of sound teaching. And what this was, as it indexed it, it didn't index just an article. It indexed my category. So everything that I have ever prepared on the subject where it dealt with Catholicism, either directly or even as an aside, where I put it in the Catholicism category on my site, well, it's available. So I've got in the news articles, different articles. I've got, I think, a sermon on it. But all of these articles that I have written, all the material that I have done on the subject of Catholicism, and you can click on those and read those articles. Or, again, you can go back, let me click out of there and go back to the site, and you can do the same thing by going. Now, you'll notice there are 10 full pages, 1,100 on that subject. Any topic you want to think about that on a biblical subject, seekyefirst.net, if you get the articles and the sermons and the information there, you have much more likely a chance to get the truth than if you just do a Google search. So seekyefirst.net is a very good website that is very much underutilized, and I would encourage you to utilize that. Questions about seekyefirst.net? The man who did that, interestingly, he had muscular dystrophy. He's since passed away. So he prepared this site because with muscular dystrophy, he was a very faithful Christian up in Wichita, Kansas. And it got to where there was less and less and less he could do because he was just basically in his wheelchair, all scrunched up with just the ability, I think, to move one finger. I think later he was using his breath in order to do it. But he was a computer programmer, and as he got sicker and sicker and sicker, he decided, what can I do for the brethren? And so it's a great story, and I love to utilize this because it is very helpful and beneficial to me, and I utilize it quite a bit. Okay, then, some of these we're going to go over very quickly. I spoke last week about the Bible study textbook series, and you'll notice that that's on the list, and the website is this website right here, although you can get it in certain places. But I want you to notice, starting, and it's very small, but starting with Genesis Volume 1 here at the top and goes down to four volumes of Genesis, all the way to the bottom in our Revelation, there's two Revelation commentaries. You have basically commentaries that I thought at first were just pictures, but they're actually PDF files that you can copy and paste out of. So these are commentaries that are relatively conservative. They were printed up by the Christian Church. Now, those of you who are familiar with the Christian Church recognize there was a division back in the late 1800s over the instrument of music and also the church support of a missionary society. Now, when they split off, there was a desire to maintain biblical authority for your practices. And that persisted in one section of those people for a long, long time. So even though they were off on certain things, a lot of things are very good. But the church in general, the Christian church in general, became more and more liberal. The disciples of Christ, you hear about them, that's basically the far liberal arm of the Christian church. They make a distinction now, the disciples of Christ or the Christian church. Well, the Christian church has gotten more liberal as well. So they no longer publish these books. They don't have any interest in publishing them because they don't agree with anything that's in them. That's kind of typical. But they've allowed them to be disseminated for free in PDF form. And so this is a very extensive series, an entire collection of the Bible in commentary form. I've got most of them in my office, and I think when they were purchased, they were probably $250, and that was 40 years ago. But they're free now. Okay, so keep that in mind. And that's what that list is. Then we get to some of these online commentaries. J.W. McGarvey is a very well-known gospel preacher from the 19th century. He has a very good commentary on the Acts of the Apostles, so on the book of Acts. You can read it online. You can download it as a Kindle ebook, or you can download the PDF or Microsoft Word format and have it on your computer. So that's McGarvey on Acts. I've been telling you about B.W. Johnson's People's New Testament. And actually, this is the table of contents. If you can go earlier on the site, you can find the same page as you have with Acts. I meant to put that up. In fact, I think it is that way on the sheet, to where you can also read it on the web, download it to the Kindle, or have it. But this is the table of contents for the BW deal. So the BW People's New Testament notes, you can buy it for $20, have a book, or else you can have it on your phone for free in that format. We also have the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia for free. And I meant to do something with that. Let's see what I said to do there. Nope, didn't. I hope this will work. I don't know that it'll work, but I'm gonna see if it will. I am turning up the TV quite a bit, the volume on the TV. We're going to go to the pronunciation guide, and we're going to see how to pronounce Nebuchadnezzar. This is not an exhaustive thing, but this is how you do it. You go to the Biblical Words Pronunciation Guide. You go to the letters A through Z, and I'm going to go over to Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm going to hit go. Hear it? Oh, come on. It's got to work. I forgot to check it. I did. That's what it is. It's way high. Okay, let me try one other thing. I'm just going to make sure that mine is on. It's not going to work. It's cool if it works, but it's not going to work. So that's the one thing I forgot to check. Okay, so it's not working. But the good thing about it is that any of those Bible words that you need to... let's see here. I can't find the mute, so I'm just going to turn it way down. Any of these Bible words that that you want the pronunciation of because you don't have them, you can pronounce them. And Blue Letter Bible, any of the Greek or Hebrew words, they have a pronunciation as well. So you can know how to pronounce the Greek and the Hebrew words as well, if you're going to be utilizing that for a Bible class. So those things are nice to have. So the Biblical Words Pronunciation Guide, just the hard names and words that are found in the Bible, you can utilize those so you don't sound... I've always advocated before I got these is basically just say whatever you want and just make it sound authoritative and people won't know. And there's some truth to that. But if someone does know, you sound kind of silly. I told you in India, I always say Nadab Nabahu, and I was doing that in India, and the translator went Nadab and Abahu, so they do it differently than what we do in West Texas. But anyway, so there is that authoritative Bible pronunciation guide that you can go to if you'd like it. So that's helpful. And then you go to the magazines. Okay, so I've got four magazines here. And just something to note with regard to magazines, they are good like commentaries. And you can go to a magazine. This is Watchman Magazine. This is the magazine that I edited, and it's no longer active. It's an archive form now, but it's still available. Every single article ever written on Watchman Magazine is online. And you can go to Search Watchman, and you click there, and you can do any kind of search that you want to do. And any article that deals with that or has that word in it will come up, and you can do a study in that regard. So Watchman Magazine is one. Truth Magazine has been active from 1956 all the way to the present. So we have Volume 1, 1956 to 1957, and it goes all the way up to 2022. Now, having said that, with regard to the Truth Archives, they're only, I think I put that on the page, only through 2018 are they free. So they want a 4 or 5 year period. They want to have where you have to sign up and subscribe in order to get the material. But up to 2018, everything in this is free. And they basically scan them all. And there's a lot of good material on authority, for example, on the institutional issues, because they were battling those things out in the 50s and 60s. There are a lot of good information in the Truth Archives. So those are available to you. And then, in addition to that, I'm not sure why the new tabs came up, but we get to Plain Talk. Plain Talk is a bulletin that was written by Robert Turner, who's a well-known gospel preacher. He's since passed away. And his articles are very simple, very plain, wonderful writer, a wonderful writer. And so he's held in high esteem. And all of his volumes, all 20 volumes of Plain Talk, the Bulletin, are online. And there, it's not going to help you so much as far as trying to do a search or anything like that, although there are some scripture indexes at the bottom, you'll notice. But if you just want to read some good, simple, easy-to-understand material, then just start reading the archives of the Plain Talk Bulletin. It really is good. Yes?
It came to my mind a second ago. Plain Talk is wonderful. All of the aforementioned magazines are wonderful, but when you're actually utilizing the CQ First search engine, all the aforementioned magazines, Watchman Magazine, Food Magazine, Plain Talk are all...
Is Plain Talk in there?
They're okay. Part of it.
Okay, I wasn't sure if Plain Talk was. Okay.
As well as a few other websites similar to the Sound Teaching website.
Good deal.
But all of these will pop up. Yeah. They're utilized.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's a great search engine. I can't say enough about it. Is anyone familiar with Robert Turner's Plain Talk Bulletin? Really is. Some of you aren't. He's an East Texas preacher that has a lot of common sense. He uses East Texas illustrations when he was a kid farming. The woods, all just real plain, easy, folksy, I guess is the right word for it. But man, just wonderful material. He's a very, very smart man, very good writer. So I would encourage you to read that. And then finally, we've got the Archives to the Expository Files, which is the final magazine. This was the first online magazine. It was done differently than Watchmen, but I began to say maybe we can do Watchmen and talk with some men about that because Warren Berkeley and John Quinn were doing the Expository Files. And I want you to notice in this particular place, a good thing, the one thing that makes this very beneficial, is that you can go to the magazine index by year or month, which wouldn't do too much. They also had a few topical lessons, so you can look at a topic. But let's say you wanted to do a study on Galatians 1, 6 through 10. You can go to the Expository New Testament and go to Galatians and go to an article that was written by Warren Berkeley with just a few clicks that has basically expository teaching, a very good expository teaching on what Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10 is talking about. And you'll notice how quickly I was able to get to that particular text. And because they did this for many, many years, they had expository teaching, just about all the verses in the New Testament have been covered, and sometimes with multiple articles. So that's a good resource if you want to do some expository study. Okay, so that gets us then, and we're coming pretty close to the end, which we may have time for some other questions or discussion. I've got three final websites that I wanted to look at, just to note. This one is called Answers in Genesis. And one of the real challenges that we have, and it is especially so with regard to young people. I don't necessarily say for the young people to go to this site. They certainly can as they get teenage years and such. But if you want to get your kids inoculated against evolutionary theory and the conflict that exists in the secular school systems between faith and science and all of that kind of thing, then there are a couple of websites, Answers in Genesis, and also the second one that I have is the Apologetics Press websites that not only have a lot of good articles and teaching on it, but also have resources that you can purchase for children that have a great deal of information. So if you have an interest in evidences, if you have been troubled by evolutionist claims, perhaps you're a babe in Christ and just wonder about those things and want to know more about what Christians would say in answer to it, especially individuals who have some knowledge in those areas and can point out the inconsistencies and the what is purported to be facts which aren't with regard to evolutionary theory and all those things. These are a couple of resources to go to that are very, very beneficial. Now, one of the two, I think there are some members of institutional churches that participate in them. I can't remember which one it is. But treat both of these websites as being secular, not secular, but being sectarian, as being denominational, and be aware of that. Because, for one thing, as an example, some premillennialists have a little bent to this. They claim that in the thousand-year reign of Christ, that there's going to be basically a return of the earth to what it once was. And so they're talking about pre-flood, that's going to happen again. And so they start advocating for their theories and their premillennial teachings in their materials. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily that these two do it, but I do know if you were to go down to the Paluxy Riverbed and the Glen Rose State Park, that there is a Bible creation museum that is located just outside of the park. They purchased a little bit of land, put a mobile home on it that has a lot of resources in it, and you can go there and look, and they're very premillennial. And so you can get books on dinosaurs for kids and things like that, and get Bible teaching in some regard, but it's also going to be tainted. And so you have to be very careful to look at it closely before you buy it or give it to your children. So anyway, there is some of that kind of stuff. So Answers in Genesis is one of those websites. The other one is Apologetics Press, and they have, again, different videos. They've got a lot of articles on different subjects, and a lot of good material. Articles, videos, lots of things that you can find. The final one that I want to note is with regard to archaeology primarily, and that is, okay, just go there. That is the Biblical Studies website. Many of you are familiar with Farrell Jenkins, a gospel preacher who is a professor. He was the Dean of Biblical Studies or Dean of the Bible Department at Florida College for a number of years, no longer is, but was for a while. And he goes and does a lot of trips and research and everything over to the Bible lands, and has taken tons and tons of pictures that are available on this site. But he also, that's an interest of his, so he supplied links to other websites. So I wanted just to show you the links page so that you can see it. So here is Bible Land photos, blogs by brethren, different churches, their websites. So that's kind of a simple one, but I'm going to go next to the information or scholarly. And so you can say, here's some, let's see, those are news sources. Searches, that's not as very good. I guess it's the third one that I wanted to show you. That one came up. The scholarly. So there's a lot of websites on apologetics, Bible culture, archaeology and the Bible, Bible study software and tools, Bibles available online, biblical backgrounds, biblical criticism, manuscripts, translations, all of these kinds of things. And obviously, with all of this that they have, of scholarly nature, and look at how much there is, I have not looked at many, if not most, of those sites. And so the same caveat that we've been giving all along with regard to it is you do it with you have a pinch of salt that you take with these articles, because they are written by men and there's always that danger. But those will have some, if you're interested in a specific thing. If you do I don't know if you remember, we had a study a number of years ago on biblical evidences, and we looked at, for example, prism of Sennacherib and his statements concerning his battles with Hezekiah, King of Judah, and how he caged him up in Jerusalem. And it's interesting because that serves as a very strong evidence as to the truthfulness of the Bible record. And so it's an archaeological proof that we have that the Bible claims are actually so. We talked about Pilate and the view for a long while among archaeologists that there was no Pilate, that Pontius Pilate did not exist until at Caesarea Maritime they found an inscription of him as the prelate of Judea in the time of Jesus. And so those things have been uncovered, and so it verified what the Bible says. So those kinds of archaeological clips are there. Okay, now I do understand that this is not a study of the Bible. I wanted to make note of how you could, and so for the remainder of our time, I'm going to do the same thing, but I'm going to do a better job of it with regard to including some Bible teaching. There's one other lesson I want to do on the computer, because I want people to know how to use our website. And I feel like my the website, the Sound Teaching site, is utilized It certainly is utilized. I want to show you some of the statistics that we have with regard to the sound teaching site. I think it's like 3 weeks from now, how it's being utilized, so we can see the importance of it, the benefit of it. But I don't think it's being utilized by the brethren very well here in this congregation. I think there is much more that can be done with it, what you may be aware of, or you're just not familiar with it, knowing how to utilize the site. And so I want to talk about that as a resource as well. But that's all that we're going to do. The rest of it will be actual practical applications of how to study. These are just simply resources that you can utilize to help you in your search for truth. And again, I would encourage you to use the electronic ones as much as possible, simply because everything that we've done up here, except for Logos, which I don't have on my computer, but everything else is actually free. All of this stuff is free. And so there's a lot of resources that are at your fingertips if you'll utilize them. I know some of you are not interested in computer stuff, so if I've wasted your time, I'm sorry about that. The books were for you last week. But this week, for those who are a little bit more comfortable with computers. Does anyone have any questions about any of the things that we've gone over very quickly? Any concerns, any comments that anyone would like to make with regard to this material? Yes, Dick.
Yes, I have a concern about not these commentaries. And I'm only familiar with Adam Clark and Barnes. And I won't use Barnes, the ridiculous thing he comes up with. I mean, check out Hebrews 6:4-8.
Dick, we've actually emphasized that a lot last week when we were looking at the various, and I would state that my agreement with that. I would like to encourage you, if you're going to look at any commentaries, again, some are a bit perhaps more capable of discerning truth and error, but it can get anyone. I'll give you just one example since we've got a couple minutes left. Darwin Chandler was a friend of mine when I was a very young man, when I was a kid. He was one of the primary reasons I decided I wanted to be a preacher. And he got involved in studying from the pulpit commentaries and some other Calvinistic commentaries and basically lost his faith as a result of it. And he was a gospel preacher who was pretty sound in his thinking. But he went from one side completely to the opposite extreme, where he's a libertine today. And to a very great extent, it was because he got into his... study, and as he started getting some weird ideas, he didn't talk to anybody about it. He just stuck with it, and he lost his faith. So it can happen, and so you've got to be very, very careful, which is why in the list of commentaries I gave you, I limited it to brethren, and then the single commentaries to brethren, and for the most part, that's a rule that I hold to as well. I will occasionally look at a denominational source, but I do so with a bit of trepidation and care when I do, because primarily I limit even my efforts to go to commentaries to those that are written by Christians. Yes, Roel.
You mentioned that that's why we cannot, no matter if the preacher or the elder, whoever we may be, remain consistently humble.
I agree.
My mother and father were married by Bob Burns. He used to be a priest here 45 years ago. And the same thing happened to him.
Yeah.
And,
it can happen. Yeah.
And I struggle.
Sure.
But I'm never going to bring it to you or somebody else.
Yeah. One of the things that I've told about some preachers, I've had lots and lots of discussions and seen a lot of so-called gospel preachers that have come up with wild views that are like brand new, like they came up with them themselves. And I've always mentioned, you know, the Bible's been around for 2,000 years, and faithful preachers and elders and members of the church have been studying these things for a long, long time. If you come up with something that you haven't heard before, that should scare you. It really should. Because chances are, the individuals who have been around for a long time and studied for a long time, that you think it's new, but they've heard it. Maybe in a slightly different form or whatever, but they've already heard it and they've already refuted it and they've already dealt with it. And so the first thing you need to do if you read something that sounds right to you, but you know it's not what your brethren believe, is to go to them and talk to them about it and say, hey, I was thinking this. Where am I wrong? Or am I wrong? And chances are they'll set you straight pretty quick. Again, just be aware of that and be willing to talk with other people. Don't get in that room by yourself. The AD 70 doctrine, as it impacted members of the church, the preacher basically, he said, I went into my study by myself and I'm the first one, this is the 1970s, first one to come up with this. And what he was saying, I'm the first one to find the truth on this matter. Talking about 2,000 years, and he came up with it in 1976. And he's a false teacher, but he's led a lot of people astray with his efforts. And so we need to be willing to talk with people about these things and to help others keep us from going astray. Because remember, the whole point is of these things is to know the sense. Know what God's Word is actually saying. Never make this your study. Make the Bible your study. Use these things in your study of the Bible. But it's always about what the Bible says. All right? Appreciate everyone's kind attention today. We'll pick up with that independent Bible study number one next week. Please fill it out before you get here.